Dieter and Hutch, short week, but we got time for you, baby. Let's talk the Los Angeles Rams, rival of the San Francisco 49ers, and what we're expecting from Thursday night football. We'll, of course, allocate roughly 2 hours to talk about the dirty kickoff later in the show. Jake, right. Let's first do a little bit of Dieter reporting here. And let me tell you what I saw down at 49-49 today. I saw starting quarterback Mac Jones. Oh, did I say that part out loud? I found it very interesting that Brock Purdy and Mac both went to the podium. Brock.
I wish they did it like how Trent and Christian McCaffrey did it, where they just stood next to each other awkwardly. And like, do you want to answer this question?
They should have, like a model UN situation. But Brock goes up there first, is honest that he's like, yeah, my toe fucking hurts really bad. And I don't know. But I'm going to try because I'm Brock Purdy and damn it. That's what I do. I try.
Maybe don't. Well, I would say take the week.
The absolute funny part was someone asked him about what he's seen, you know, from, I don't even remember who it was about. And he goes, yeah, I can't wait to watch him on Thursday. It's like, oh, you gave it away.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Freudian slip there, Brock. We're just going to let that pass.
Doesn't matter. The Rams don't really, I don't think the Rams are going to need the extra edge in this game.
No, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't care about that part. It was just funny that the whole pretense is like, who knows? Maybe I'll play. Can't wait to watch these guys go out and battle, though. You don't say
there's an element of that stuff slips when they know it's sort of a lost cause.
You're 10 minutes into a banal press conference. You let your guard down, you know, that's right. How it goes. I'm just going to quickly read off the 49ers prodigious injury report from
the corpse Tuesday. List.
Yeah, 12 of the 53 active members of the team are on the injury report.
That's awesome.
Robert Beal ankle. No practice. Not that it matters. Renardo Green, limited with a neck injury. Yetur Gross-Matos, limited today with a knee injury. Juwan Jennings, all. They put ankle and rib, but I'm going to call it all. Did not practice. Will not play. Mac Jones is back, full participant with a probably torn PCL. Colton McKivitz, calf, full participation this week. Ricky Pearsall, knee. Did not participate twice. Ricky was limping around the locker room with a bandage over a spot where you would have your knee drained. I can't tell you what happened to Ricky's knee, but he had a bandage on a knee, and that's where
he had the knee injury first, and then he landed like square on it, which I did that once when I was like in a backyard and I was throwing like a baseball to myself and I landed square on the kneecap.
Yeah.
That shit hurts.
Yeah. I bet that thing swelled up like a motherfucker and probably needed to be drained because there's some stuff floating in there.
Are they even pretending that he might play?
No, I don't think if they did, they didn't put much effort into it. I mean, again, like overtly limping across the locker room. Purdy is excited to watch these guys play on Thursday. He did not participate in practice. Jordan Watkins is not a thing. CJ West, talked to CJ West today about his thumb surgery, which he had.
Right.
He had two screws put on to straighten out his thumb. Showed it to me and Matt Barros.
It's too early in your career to start doing the lineman thing.
It was unbelievable. Has two screws in his thumb.
Two thumbs now.
He has two thumbs. It's a terrible surgery. Went horribly wrong. Two screws keeping his thumb straight. He said that they only needed to have a cast for like 2 days, and now he's taped it up, and he's going to play with a club. And
I love that
he's
the type of guy that should be playing with the club.
He's such, I don't know how to put this right, but there is no other profession on the planet that gentleman should be doing. He's a lovely guy. Yeah. Enjoyed talking to him, making small talk, but you look at him and you're like, if that guy's not a defensive tackle, I don't know what humans are supposed to do on this planet. And he was walking around with the club and he just kind of waved it at me. And I go like, yeah, brother. I love CJ West.
So, question. I'm really bogging us down early.
No,
but like, so I'm pretty sure you have to like make either a fist. You get stuck in something.
Do you know the wrestler CM Punk?
Yes,
that's what he's got going on. It's like taped up all the way to the top, but like the fingers are exposed. It's like a fingerless glove.
Ah.
Like it comes up a little bit on the thumb. I should have snapped a picture. I should have asked him, but we were just cool because we were being like, you're like Mega Man now.
Didn't the Niners have a game where it was like Navarro Bowman and another linebacker both had gloves?
Willis Barros Willis. Was saying that Willis played with one. Obviously, Jason Pierre-Paul played with one for many years. Justin Tuck, I recall, played with one.
Yeah, shout out to the Giants.
I think Strahan also played with one. Apparently, I only have recollections of early aughts Giants defensive linemen.
They were great.
I mean, it's a good team to remember. But
were there any other players on the injury report?
Oh, yeah. Michael Williams risked oblique. The oblique one, sneaky. He'll play, but he was actually wearing an Alabama sweater today. It was a whole thing.
He's clearly going to like need wrist surgery at the end of the year, and they'll be like, yeah, well.
Not a great first 4 weeks for the Michael Williams is always injured. No, he isn't crowd, which I was part of. And then, D Winters has a knee injury. Who knew?
He does. It's news to me. I was locked in a cave today, grinding tape, finishing up stuff. Did not see that. It's not great.
Not great. Meanwhile, just quickly, the Rams, two guys didn't participate in practice, Rob Havenstein and Tyler Higbee.
That's awesome.
Two good players, to be fair, but clearly a little different than...
Because you can kind of forget, right? You can kind of forget that, like, oh, well, most teams are hurt. It's like most teams don't have to put like every that. Single player they have on the injury
report. Not like that. Not to the point where you're... Not to the point where you're looking at someone who's not participating in practice and you're like, whatever. Like, we have bigger fish. I can't even think about what that means for Robert Beal. Like,
Yetur Gross-Matos. It's funny. Dom Pooney's not even on the injury report and his knee's just like shot.
Totally shot.
Neither is Trent.
For what it's worth, Pooney, they put in a new basketball hoop in the locker room today. For all the knocks that people give Jake Brendel as a football player, that boy's got a smooth ass jumper. That thing is wet. It is. He unquestionably the best shooter on the team.
Would murder people at the YMCA.
Absolutely destroy.
Just like the sickest four you've ever seen.
Grade A ringer. Brandon Parker, who probably could have played the four in the NBA at like 6'9", 3". You know, you slim down a little bit. He's got the frame. Not as wet, but a good jump shooter. Pooney. Nice jump shooter.
Yeah, he is.
And so, I kept waiting for him to like scream in agony as he came down on his, because he's coming up a little bit, right? It's not just like a full set shot. And he seemed fine. I don't know how he'll feel with 300-pound men trying to destroy his body come Thursday, but he was good playing basketball in a carpeted room. So shout out Utah Prep Sports.
Love it.
A lot of Utah talk today, BYU specifically, because I'm going to say some things about Puka Nacua that I think I've only used to describe the passionate love that I have for my wife, children, and family.
Go for it.
We had to split it up this week. We didn't have enough time to both watch both sides of the ball. Jake took
on. Yeah, we both started going cross-eyed and had to stop.
I'm running on 3 hours of sleep here. Things that I say cannot be used against me in a court of law. Maybe that's why I'm, making eyes at Puka Nacua from across an all 22 tape. But Jake watched the defense. I watched the offense. Puka Nacua is a perfect football player, Jake. He's perfect.
It'd be crazy if you passed up on him in a fantasy football draft because you were worried about Matthew Stafford's back.
And I don't think that there's any wrong belief in that Matthew Stafford's back. He lived in an airstream.
To be fair, Jimmy G would probably find Puka, which is why I'm mad at myself.
Maybe. I'll say this. On the macro level, Kyle Shanahan just has to be sick to his stomach this week because the 49ers can't execute. Like, let's be fundamental about what it is that's wrong with it. They can't execute. I don't know if the play calls are perfect, but they are certainly not being executed. The run game is not being executed. The pass game is not being executed.
Yeah.
And then you watch the Rams, and it is just a symphony of execution. And they are running some cool ass. It's all basic stuff, but they are running it to perfection.
So I just finished up, you know, the tape takeaways for the week on the Hutch Report, as always. And it was like you watch one play and they get out schemed. The next play, 11-yard run. Looks great. Connor Colby, great play.
Yeah.
Very next play gets destroyed. And right. I don't really understand, like, how? I have criticisms of the 49ers run game and the sort of perfect necessitating nature of it. But when you're like, oh, we got things going, and then the very next play, like, it's like kind of executed well, and then the guy just gets destroyed. You can't really prepare for that. You can't really out scheme getting rocked. So even when they're executing right, they're getting rocked, and they're not usually executing right.
I mean, they will go on the left side. They'll line up Puka in line, yeah, as effectively a tight end. Davis Allen, their blocking tight end, who can actually block. And Alaric Jackson, who, another reason to have been a bit skeptical about the Rams coming in. Alaric Jackson, they didn't know if he was going to be able to play this year because of a blood clot issue. He's playing. Wow. He's a good player in the run game in particular. They can do whatever they want on that side. And Kyren Williams has still got the juice. Blake Corum's got something for him, too. This run game, I mean, there's no concept that they can't execute. Outside zone, fantastic. Duo blocks on the inside, run it all day long. They got the Zorros going. They got the counters going.
Yep.
Kyren's making more out of nothing with these shifty little moves. I'd forgotten what a run game should look like, having watched the 49ers the last 4 weeks. Y'all are about to see it.
That's awesome. Why I'm so goddamn tired today, is I just watched the 49ers run game all week. I mean, all week. It's Tuesday.
It's like when I took my July sabbatical, right, and went to Scotland. And here's the problem with vacations. You have to watch your kids all the time. Like, there's no daycare. And I would love a vacation where they still went to daycare or the nanny. And it's like, I'll just take 5 hours. Just no one. Just silence. We'll just sit here. And do nothing. Regardless, at the end of that trip, it was a hard trip, right? We traveled like 40. We were everywhere, and we were on a bunch of planes. It was stressful. And I'm like, why do I feel so much better with my mental health? Oh, I'm not watching the San Francisco Giants play baseball every night. Like, I'm not freebasing Giants baseball. It's probably going to help my mental health. Watching this 49ers run game in particular is bad for your mental health, because we're the most cynical people on the planet, and even we can't imagine this diabolical.
It took me forever to get the story out, to actually do the thing that I do every week, because I was so nauseated. I'm not, to be clear, as everyone knows, we are not 49ers fans.
No.
I just prefer football to be either entertainingly bad or entertainingly good, and it was just unentertaining slop ball.
It's directionless.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the thing that you're good at. You're not even close to being good at it right now.
They're like a good passing offense while being a bad passing offense. What a strange team.
They're a very bizarre team. It might have something to do with 12 guys being on the injury report for a Tuesday practice. But it is, I don't know how much better it would have been in a best case scenario. So watching the Niners try to run the ball and then watching the Rams run the ball is just night and day. This is a really good offensive line, really good running backs. Puka as this inline blocker. It's the thing that you're not seeing with the Niners. The thing that made the Niners great, I would argue, or took them from zero to, you know, Mobile to this, you know, what was it, Miami in 2019. About halfway through the season, they started blocking their ass off with receivers because Emmanuel Sanders came around and said, like, this is how it's done, boys.
Correct.
And it's fundamental to the way they want to play football, and they are putting out teach tape in Los Angeles.
Remember
right
how
now.
Many 20-plus yard runs Raheem Mostert had, and like Tevin Coleman had like a 200-yard, 4-touchdown game or something? Like,
it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable how good Puka Nacua is as a blocker.
What's
He's the lead blocker on these plays.
Yeah. What's your biggest concern? If you're like the 49ers defense, besides, I mean, all of it, but like, where do you think...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So the limitation on the Rams offense is the fact that their passing game is effectively two guys, and it's pretty determined as to where the ball is going based on the coverage that's shown. They're just so good, it doesn't matter what you try to do. It's Nacua against zone. It's Davante Adams against man. And Stafford is just throwing it on a hope and a prayer sometimes, right? He is so ahead of it, and they are so good. These receivers are, those two particular receivers are so good at mind meld with their quarterback that they're not even really running the play. They're doing the Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes thing where they're cutting it off 3 yards short and coming underneath. And the ball is right there for him because Stafford threw it with the kind of anticipation that we've seen from Brock in the past. That is their passing game. They're doing a lot of, you know, five-step drop, no play action passes, which is super basic. And
what the Niners do, and it drives some people crazy, but
it works. Yeah. It's like a change up to a good fastball. If I'm the Niners, my concern is simply you're going to have to commit 8 to stop this run game. You're not going to be able to take these dudes one-on-one because I don't think, unless Mikel looks like what he looked like in the first 3 weeks, I don't think you have anyone who could command a double team. So now you're playing hat on a hat. This center that they have, Coleman Shelton, awesome. He's always at the second level. He's always delivering force. He's awesome. And they're running multiple schemes. They're running gap stuff at a very high level. They run the outside zone at like, it's just perfectly tuned with these running backs. They have the pacing down to a T. And I think that you just have to completely sell out to stop the run. And my concern there is that now you really don't have anything protecting you from Davante Adams or Puka making one man miss and go into the house if Matthew Stafford runs play action. This is every worry that the 49ers put in people for a 4-year stretch. This is it. This is the 49ers ideal offense. This is what Kyle Shanahan has always wanted to be. It is pragmatic. It is exacting. It is powerful. It is as good as it gets. And again, the only limitation is the fact that Stafford cannot run under any circumstances. And if he gets any pressure in his face, it's anyone's guess as to what happens.
Yeah.
But that won't be an issue with the 49ers.
I actually think Fred Warner comes up with his first interception of the game and it makes no difference whatsoever to the outcome.
Yeah. I'm in awe. And honestly, I'm a little bit embarrassed for thinking that the Niners were anywhere on the precipice of good.
Yeah.
Because this is clearly excellent. I don't think it is singularly supreme. But this is clearly excellent, and it's so far from what we've seen from San Francisco this year. It's laughable.
I'll go to the defensive side. The Rams defense is like, they're doing the same. Every defense is the fucking same now in the NFL. Everyone's running too high. They're playing like man match or sometimes zone match, but they're doing like cover 6 or cover 7.
Yeah.
And it's not every play, but like there's a lot of like triangles and little diamonds on one side of the field and then like a safety in a corner sorted out on the other side. And where that is a weakness is that their linebackers are not outstanding. It's not to say that they're bad. Spates and Landman especially can they'll come down and they'll pop you. Right. Oh, and they trigger to the ball pretty quick. They don't get great depth and have great feel and coverage. Spates, I think, worse than Landman.
True.
Who, of course, was free, like $1 million.
Free Puna Ford was free, but they haven't been important at all. Meanwhile, that's all McVay talks about during his weekly press conference.
Correct. And
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's good stuff, Jake. But I was watching the McVay press conferences. This has nothing to do with the 49ers-Rams rivalry. He should have taken the Amazon job. He would have been so goddamn good. He would have been so goddamn good. I can listen to that guy talk football forever. He has a zeal. He has a zeal for it.
He'll take it. I think he's too addicted.
You can tell.
And so
he's talking football, man.
Right. And so I mentioned, you know, the linebackers and their cornerback DB group is interesting because you're like, it's a bunch of like kind of little shit stirrers where like they kind of have, they're all free safeties.
Yeah. Right? Lake, their nickelback is like that.
Kinchins, who I hated coming out of the draft, has been good for them.
Yeah.
Curl's a good player.
Yeah.
And then it's Darius Williams and Kobe Forbes. Durant.
Durant's good. They got Forbes as well. I don't know about Forbes.
Yeah, I don't know about him either. But it starts and ends with their D line, where it's
wow,
fucking murderer's row, dude. It's like Byron Young is like coming into his own as like a borderline like elite pass rusher. Jared Verse is Jared Verse, who, like, let's not forget, is a menace to society.
Yeah, like a defensive player of the year candidate annually.
Right. Braden Fisk is a gaps shooter, and it's like kind of hit or miss, but he's like a maxed out like Kalia Davis, if Kalia Davis's thing was the pass rush. And then Puna Ford is a meatball meteor. So he's just
a small brick wall.
People say glory to God, and then when I think of God, I think of Puna Ford. Because, man, what a specimen. I mean...
You thought Jake liked Jeremiah Ledbetter. You haven't even heard him on Puna Ford yet. And I thought, dude, I was the Puna Ford head here.
It makes me, you know, because your daughter loves the Chargers. It makes me feel like her, where I'm like, I want to start dressing like Jim Harbaugh and just talking about Puna Ford for 2 hours a day and just sort of like have a headset, like my jaws clenched and I'm sort of yelling, but I'm like pumped up, but I'm wearing khakis because I'm just
them nothing. Les Snead, I mean, listen, talk
about
the
fuck
Rams.
Is with the NFL and like undervaluing Puna Ford because he's short?
I think they thought it was like a scheme issue. I don't know,
Puna,
man.
Puna Ford has always been sick.
He wins every rep he's ever taken, apparently. I'm not even being sarcastic.
I mean,
he
wasn't
one of those
free.
Players.
It was 3 years and $27.5 million.
Oh, really? Okay. I was under the impression it was free.
It was not free. It's a real contract. But he is. Boy. It's like, it's $5 million on the cap.
Would you rather have him or Luke Farrell right now?
Don't talk to me. Stop talking to me right now. I'm talking about Puna Ford. It's just like,
that's what I'm talking about.
It's a beautiful thing.
They are. I guess
he's just always under everyone's pad level. And just, you're like, you just watch people go, what am I supposed to do with this? Nothing. You're going to lose.
If you try to get hands on him, it's illegal hands to the face. He's so small. It's like that 3'5" guy that the St. Louis Browns put out there to be a pinch hitter that one time. I mean, how are you not going to walk him? His strike zone's tiny. It's a beautiful thing.
It's like a bull getting under you with horns. Mm-hmm. Or more like a triceratops.
Because
a triceratops is just like a flat, just mass getting underneath you, winning the leverage battle.
Stegosaurus, perhaps?
Would you say?
Maybe more a stegosaurus?
No, he's not a stegosaurus. Stegosaurus, stegosauri are long. This is the best episode we've ever done.
It's probably more of a triceratops.
Yeah, he's definitely a triceratops.
I would like to note in our last episode, we compared the current 49ers defensive line to late aughts Cleveland Cavaliers teams. So comparing Puna Ford to dinosaurs feels pretty on par.
We were dialed in. Last thing I'll say sort of about the defense, like,
how do you get them?
Attack the linebackers. And the 49ers, I think, like, will move the ball, and then they'll turn over the ball, and Mac Jones will get rocked.
Yeah.
And it won't necessarily be his fault. And it won't even necessarily be the O-line's fault because they didn't have a chance to begin with.
Yeah.
Can I give you a prediction for this game?
I would love to hear a prediction because I'm running through a lot of scenarios in my mind and I'm trying to find something that comes across as even slightly optimistic. So I would love to hear your prediction first.
Rams 34, Niners 13.
Yeah. What would be the game script that would give the Niners a chance in this game?
Fred Warner picking off Matthew Stafford.
Stafford?
And then slowing the game down to a halt and having the run game be effective.
Right. Basically running the Navy triple option.
Getting DeMarcus Robinson to like save the offense by blocking, which is not not in question, not really a possibility, but not 100% out of the question. He will
hasn't
help,
been disproven yet.
Yeah, because you're going to have Mac Jones, no Ricky Pearsall, probably no Juwan Jennings.
Right.
You're going to have to have Leak hit about twice.
I don't know how many times you can run Leak in a row, but they might. I mean, I don't think you've ever seen Christian McCaffrey run so many goddamn Texas routes in your life. He could run for governor of the state by the end of this thing.
This would be the game I put Jordan James on the field.
I don't think you have a choice but to.
You said that for like three games in a row.
Well, and how's it going for him?
Not well. They should run the fucking Veer. And they have done like a split backfield where it looks like that, where it's like almost a three-point stance. That's where the 49ers used to run back in like the 80s and 90s. They did that. They basically lined them up like that.
Yeah.
Run it out of the pistol. Football, run Tommy the triple Frazier. Option with Mac Jones. Do something that entertains me. You'll lose. Doesn't really matter. But I don't know if there's a game script where they win unless it's getting turnovers. Maybe Stafford gets hurt and you're able to run the ball effectively and you don't turn it over.
I do think that there's something to the idea that there's only two guys who get the ball in the passing game in this offense. And that the tight end's not really a thing for them, though I imagine they'll be trying to hit the flat repeatedly. I do think that this defensive line, if it had to commit to one direction, should commit to stopping the run. I don't think it can.
Right.
But I if you got to pick a direction, I'd go to that, even though it makes all the sense in the world to try to kill Stafford. Like, you can't do it. You can't do that. At least I think you might be able to stop the run.
I do think there were a couple like pressure looks that were really good for the Niners.
Okay.
One where Siegel came down and then it was like a five-man blitz where it guaranteed a one-on-one for Bryce Huff. The one optimistic point is Bryce Huff is fucking cooking.
Yeah,
he's really good. And I asked him about like the run game stuff, and he didn't say Vic Fangio's name, but he was like, because the perception of him that he can't play the run, he's like, you know.
Well, it's also kind of counterintuitive. Like, you play him as a stand-up outside linebacker, but you don't think he can stop the run. Like, why are you playing him there, then?
He's like, listen, like, I know I'm short, but I'm 260, which is about average for like a speedy defensive end in this league. He's like, I've always taken pride in it. I just haven't gotten the opportunities.
He's like, the Puna Ford of defensive ends.
He's the absolute opposite of Puna Ford, except in that he's short.
Yeah.
They couldn't be more different.
They couldn't be more different, but they're both stegosauruses.
I will say, he's got one move, and it's
right in your fucking face.
I will say there was like one like very good rep and a lot of like pretty good pass reps where it's just I wouldn't even say pretty good. I would say good that we're better than neutral because he's collapsing the pocket a little bit. But like, he's doing it consistently where he's at least creating some vertical displacement with the O-line, and they need to double team him at times. He got double team more than anybody. Mm-hmm. Grades out tomorrow. Double team more than anybody, and they are having some stuff. Sam O, once a game, will have a sick rush. Yitor Gross Matos, God, if he was healthy, they would actually. He's been really good in pass rush. The problem is they don't have a defensive tackle who can possibly even theoretically do anything against a double team.
Legitimately, I need to see Jordan Jefferson. I need to see Jordan. I need my Jordans in my life right now. I'm like a high school kid. I need Jordans.
They did run a pretty sick, and it worked, and it was like a key third and one, I think, at the start of the fourth quarter, where they gave the ball to Tutton, the Jags did.
Yeah.
The 49ers ran a front that was Jefferson at nose, Mikel at three, and Kalia Davis at three, with Robert Beal as a widest nine I've ever seen. It was such a bizarre front. I put it in the story.
What would you call that?
I have no idea, but it worked.
It's not a mint.
The joke I made was that like Salah's like, oh, you're gonna run duo? Well, how about a trio?
Well,
they didn't run duo, but it did work. It did work.
And I don't blame Robert Saleh for thinking they were going to run duo, because that worked pretty well in the start of the game. And I don't know if there's a team that's running duo. Well, Packers run duo really well because they got smaller.
What's your prediction?
I think there's some Thursday night here that we can't discount.
Yeah.
And every Thursday night football game is just an AFC South battle, which means it's just going to be stupid and generally disillusioning. Right.
Yeah.
It's like the Texans Titans game. You're like, wow, the Texans killed them. That game was 6-0 going into the fourth quarter. Like,
just hearing the names, the Texans and the Titans.
I expect the Rams to show up in all yellow uniforms for some reason. The Niners to be in all black for some reason.
Right.
They're going color rush.
All black for the Niners isn't until week 18, I think.
I know. But what I'm saying is,
yeah,
every game on Thursday night is AFC South football. You just saw it again with Cardinals and Seahawks.
I'm with you. Like, it'll probably be sloppier and closer, and predicting that score is like, I knowing that in the back of my mind, but I do think like the Niners should get fucking walloped in this game.
To be fair, AFC South football can also be 54-0.
Correct.
I don't think it's going to be that bad, but if Mac plays, your offensive ceiling is 30 points at the absolute most.
Hammered the Jake Tonja's numbers.
That's a good bet. Not that we condone that sort of thing. I have a hard time seeing the Niners get two touchdowns in this game, and I have a very easy time seeing the Rams get it. I have no idea how you stop them. I just have no idea how you stop them. For what it's worth, can I just kind of palate cleanser here? We're big fans of Marquise Siegel. It was cover 9 that they were running. Cover 9. That's cover 2 on one side and cover 4 on the weak side. They're running cover 9, he told me.
Isn't that cover 6?
Sort of.
God damn it.
It's really hard. What's the deal with these coverages?
God damn it.
It's late. Not for you, though, because you're watching this on a Wednesday. It is late Tuesday night, and we've been grinding tape and bones. We've just been grinding our teeth, molars, and bones.
Two things in that vein. One, we didn't even talk about, I think we didn't do it around the NFL, but how about the Texans, the Houston Texans, with the worst offensive line in football going, we can afford to trade a tackle because Cam Robinson is that bad.
He's that bad. He's that bad.
It's awesome to be able to trade away a tackle when you're like, the offensive line we have is the worst in the league. Someone's like, give us one of your guys.
Swap.
Shout out to Browns.
There's always
starting Dylan Gabriel.
There's always a Khalil Davis. There's always money in the banana stand, and there's always a Khalil Davis.
Shout out Dylan Gabriel, who to his credit did truck stick and knock Nick Martin out cold in college.
That is a factual.
That
statement.
Did happen.
I feel great for Dylan Gabriel, who's going to get his first NFL start for the Browns against a Brian Flores defense that has been living on Greenwich Mean Time this entire week. and you get to fly from Cleveland to London, and Brian Flores has been away from his family, his children, and American
society. He's going
society.
To come out and play linebacker.
He has created some things this week. That is not going to go well for young Dylan Gabriel, who, this is total anecdotal scouting, but kind of all scouting is anecdotal. I will never unsee the Rose Bowl game.
No.
I will never unsee it.
No.
I went into that game with the highest of hope. Me and my buddy Scott, he lives in San Diego. I live in the Bay. He's like, hey.
He was supposed to be an undrafted free agent.
And he was supposed to win the Heisman last year, too. I mean, he was awesome. Those two things can't exist, by the way. Yeah. My buddy Scott's like, do you want to go to the Rose Bowl like 3 days ahead of time? And I'm like, yes, I do. And we were excited because it was Oregon, Ohio State, and this should be a great game. And within 10 minutes of that game starting, we're like, oh no, which might be what we're saying at another LA venue come Thursday night.
Correct. One more thing.
Yeah.
Giants reporters, what are you doing with the erotica on the timeline? What are we doing?
I'm sorry, what, huh?
You're not familiar with the Jackson Dart erotica?
My mind went to San Francisco Giants, and I'm like, what?
No, sorry.
No. I saw fan fiction,
one of the most insane things I've ever read, and then just like defending it, being like, oh well, that's what I saw. It was like someone taking like a creative writing class for the first time. If you haven't seen it, don't look it up, but also
you'll find it fast.
It's something where you go, okay, some people are unwell, some people are not doing okay.
You and I will never own Jackson Dart stock, and I think that that's going to work out very well for us.
He could turn out to be sick and I will still be selling.
Nope. Because that would, if he's sick, that means that he gets to go into the situations that I trust him least in. So that's fun there. We did not talk about the dirty kickoff. I would like to talk about the dirty kickoff and then leave.
Go for it.
It's the coolest play in the NFL right now. It's Joshua Carty, former Stanford kicker, a sixth round pick. Imagine drafting a kicker and him being good. Joshua Carty and the Rams special teams coordinators basically looked at the situation, did some cost benefit analysis, and just said, you think you could kick knuckleballs into the landing area every time? And Cardi's like, oh yeah, I can do that. And he has. And
how? How is it that other people haven't been able to pull that off?
Well, I will say this, the Panthers have copied it and they're doing just as well.
But like, we knew this was going to be a thing
entirely. And Kyle Shanahan was asked if you should do it. And his quote was, there's a lot of risk in that. So that will be a no. Because Kyle Shanahan, risk and special teams, no, never. Kyle, never they shall meet.
Kyle, bring it in tight. You got to get an edge somewhere. And your special teams is like dead last in the league. You got nothing to lose. And maybe he does try. Who knows?
He won't. He will not. So here's the stat. They have had 21 dirty kicks this year out of 23 kickoffs. Okay. Every single time it's landed inside the landing area. Basically, Cardi's able to put this thing on the 19 every time. It is a thing to behold. It is the funnest play in football right now as well. The average starting field position for the four opponents, Tennessee, Houston, Philadelphia, and Indianapolis, the average starting field position for those teams, and a reminder, the touchback is now at the 35. The average starting field position on 23 kickoffs after 23 kickoffs this year is the 23-yard line. That is 10 yards difference from where the 49ers are. 10 yards of difference. Niners are like second to worst in the NFL.
They also Niners also can't cover.
Well, that's part of the problem. Yeah. Pinero's actually doing a nice job on the kickoffs. They're getting pretty much to the goal line. You're catching it at the one or the two. They're coming forward, but then it's like, hey, what if we miss four tackles on the in the way? This is the tush push of 2025. The beauty of the tush push is that like one guy can really execute at a high level. Other teams will try. Maybe they'll be able to pull it off every now and again, but most of them will fail and look stupid. And every time the Eagles have the ball, it's first and eight. And that is a massive difference compared to first and 10. And it adds up, and they have a Lombardi trophy to stand for it. If you are consistently getting, in the case of these two teams, a 10-yard differentiation in starting field position, you don't think that's going to add up in the course of one game? It is absolutely awesome. And I asked Sky Moore about it because he is the unlucky soul who is now being tasked with having to figure out where that knuckleball is going. And he said that they have set up a jugs machine to try to shoot out knuckleballs. And that is a very involved process to get the ball to do that. He asked Pinero to kick him some. Reading between the lines didn't go that great. And then, he was, he kind of gave, the nice normal spiel, like, yeah, we're trying this. And then at the end,
why don't they have Kyle Juszczyk do it? Well, he likes to kick the ball. He's got time on his hands.
I don't think that he has the capability to throw the knuckler. I think that this is a feel thing. It's a leg angle kick thing. The way the Rams talk about it, it is a somewhat unique. Okay. let me tell you, getting that thing to the 19 every time on a knuckle, like, I don't know about that one, Jim.
Saying, if it's your job, you should be able. I know. I'm not saying I'm not impressed. I think it's sick as hell.
So I asked more about it, and he's like, yeah, he kind of gives you the spiel, right? Like, here's, you know, what we're trying. And then at the end, he's just like, but yeah, you don't really know what's going to happen, so you can't prepare for it. So I just asked him, like, do you ever play shortstop? And he's like, third base. So here's my suggestion. Sign Matt Chapman. Get him back there. He can play some weird hops.
He's got time.
He's got nothing but time on his hands. I'm sure he's, you know, Matt Chapman's got a little bit of a screw loose. I'm sure he'd want to play. Get Matt Chapman.
He's a wide dude. He can take a shot. He'll be fine.
He's bigger than Sky Moore. That's for damn sure. So I do think that this kickoff, not only on sort of a macro level, is going to be an absolute game changer for the Rams and any other team that can pull it off. But like, if this game does have some AFC South in it, like I think it might, just because it's a Thursday night game, like the difference in the game might be Isaac Garendo, noted person who doesn't catch the ball well, totally botching one of these. Niners starting at the four, and we've seen Mac Jones hanging out in the end zone. What's up?
Feels likely to happen.
Yeah. So that's another point for the Rams.
It's like when I predicted that Richie James would muff a punt in the Super Bowl, and then Jeff Wilson Jr. would score a touchdown on a Texas route, and I was like, felt dialed in. Yeah, what was your final score prediction before we get out of here?
I'm going to just go 28-17, which is pretty boring, but I just think that at a certain point, the Rams will feel so comfortable that they're not going to push it. They have no incentive to push it. It's Thursday. They just want to get on with their lives. And I think we see a lot of Blake Corum.
I was literally just going to say that.
I think we get Jordan Whittington.
I knew that was going to be a tough name.
Thank you. Kyle Whittingham, Jordan Whittington. I think they try to get him involved in the pass game.
Yep.
I think Stafford probably has a dumb play or two. Sure. Puka's going to go to the locker room once because that's, you know, just par for the course these days. But I bet Devontae Adams goes for like $165 and a tutty easy. This is not going to be a fun game.
Diamador Lenore is going to try and fight someone.
That's a good bet. I like that one. I'll also go with Jordan Elliott ending a play with his legs above his head.
There is one rep that I saw of Pooney this week, and Pooney battled, but the one I sent you, it's early in the game, and he literally goes starfish. It literally goes like, you know, when when you're at sea and there's a giant wave, apparently you're supposed to starfish and just try and grab anything. It looked like that. And I didn't put it in the story because it felt like a cheap shot, because he really only had like two horrific reps like that. He was bad. Everyone was bad.
But you sent me the photo, and there's only one. It's not even a word. There's only one noise that can be made. And you just go, oof. That's what, you know, that's what he said. You know, that's what everyone saw. But, oof.
To be that flat on the ground and you're the only one there, it's not like there's a pile. And
doing snow angels.
Yeah. So it's going to go well on Thursday, I think, for the Niners.
If they win this game, it's going to be so bad that there's like part of me that's just like, take the Niners money line. Just do it for the bit.
What is the line, by the way? I would imagine three and a half.
Yeah, Rams? I think it's like 3.5. 49ers Rams.
Maybe 5.5.
Line. These are this is great. I'm gonna go on sports line. Oh boy, it's up to 6.5.
I was gonna say, yeah, 3.5 felt low. 6.5 is about right. I think they're gonna, listen, as much as there's a Thursday night football, I think they're just gonna get rocked. Logically, I don't see a way that they're not going to get rocked in this game.
It's very difficult to imagine a circumstance in which Mac Jones is operating at a level of precision with these offensive weapons that can make this game interesting enough to where it comes down to some silly shit late. Like, it's just,
they might have like two turnovers. You know, that's the best case scenario for them. Turn the ball over early. Get Adrian Martinez in there by the second quarter, shut everybody down,
Jesus.
Pull out the lineman, and just shut it down. Lose by 40.
What a 3-1 team this is. It's reminiscent of like Missouri played UMass last week, And the announcer, as Missouri's up, you know, 21-3, and they've just run the ball exclusively for the last 10 minutes. And they're all like, you know, a lot of the UMass players were saying, like, don't worry about this one. Next week is when the season starts. That's when MAC play starts. That's kind of where I'm at, except hey, this is in division. This is a division
UMass
game.
UMass is building something, buddy. I covered one of their games early. They got a new coach. They have, you know, UMass has something like hasn't ever had a winning season, I think.
They went, UMass went up to Division 1A, and then we were like, no, went back to 1AA, and then it's like, I guess we got to come back because of the money. They play in like an ancient stadium.
Yeah, no. They have not, wait, to be clear, they returned to Division 1 in 2012, and the last time they were in Division 1 was in 1906.
Yeah.
The last winning season they had in Division 1 football was 1901.
Yeah. No, it's what happened is they got kicked out of a conference. They got kicked out of their conference. You have to be pretty bad to get kicked out of a conference. Though I will say that, you know, there are some teams trying right now. They're going for it.
I believe in you, Joe Harismiak.
I'm pretty sure that UCLA is trying to get kicked out of the Big Ten right now.
All right.
Big Ten football. What a joke. Also, this, what a wonderful game that you'll have to subscribe to Amazon Prime to watch. When does Al Michaels give up on this one?
He might First give quarter? Up pretty quick.
He gives up on the good ones about
halfway. He's just
going to
start talking about the forum.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to be talking about.
Actually, he's not interesting enough to start talking about the forum.
Yeah, it's kind of Jover for the great Al Michaels. And then Kirk is just like, why am I here?
He's like, have you met my dog?
Yeah.
My other one.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well.
Well, Golden Retriever's here for a good time, not for a long time. Feels like moves. The 49ers... three wins and their great start to the season can say the same thing. The Golden Retrievers
right.
of football.
That's right, folks.
We should end the show now.
Go subscribe to the Hutch Report. Go get my grades. Go get all the good stuff. And, you know, maybe drink something while you're watching this game.
Yeah, I would recommend. I only think that there's one college football game happening at this time. Let me check real fast here. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with Conference USA. College football schedule. And yeah, if you want to watch Sam Houston and New Mexico State, that's at 6 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Those are both like mascots that are like country shooters.
You talking about the Bearcats and
Houston State's got a.
No, they're the Bearcats with a K.
Okay.
Bearcats.
I was thinking of another. Anyway,
New Mexico
State has
guns.
Okay.
They don't believe
Time to end the show. Thank you, folks.
Bye.